We continue our remaining study of this book, 1 Corinthians, and we often find in the writings of the New Testament writers, they always and often point us, the believers, to the hope of resurrection. And this is a very important subject, because if you are able to undermine the doctrine of the resurrection, then you are in fact able to entirely demolish the whole of the Christian faith. The reality of Christ's bodily resurrection assures those of us who are Christian believers that God the Father accepted the sacrifice made by God the Son, the second person of the Godhead. And because Jesus was raised, believers, those who are in union with Christ through the Holy Spirit, can know, not just know, but know with certainty that sin no longer holds dominion over us, over the believers, over the Christian. The risen Lord Jesus reigns and rules over all, and all things have been put under his feet. And the day will come when he will finally rule over all his creation in the new heaven and the new earth. Therefore, all those of us who are sealed with God the Holy Spirit, who are in Christ, will one day receive a body like Christ's glorified body. All your worship and all your services rendered to God are not in vain. And so, brethren, be encouraged as we do a brief study on this subject of resurrection. I hope that you will not just to remind you, but that you may be strengthened in your faith that it is true. And again, the reality of this, the resurrection of Christ, will also be the same for us who are in Christ, that this reality will increase, and that you may truly have that assurance of your resurrection at the final day. May the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again, motivate you, motivate me, the Christian believer, to live each day before God with meaning and purpose for the glory of God in all the various areas of our vocation, of our calling, whatever the calling may be. May this doctrine, or this assurance, or this truth of Jesus' resurrection be the impetus to stir us, to inspire us, that we are heading towards that day. And meanwhile, as God places us in our various vocation, in our various station of life, whether in the home, in the church, in the place of, at our place of work, or in school, that we may live with that motivation. Our subject this afternoon is the destruction of our last enemy. There is an enemy that we have to face, and this will be our last enemy. Look at verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so, our subject this afternoon is the destruction of our last enemy. We have three things to consider from this text. First, death is our enemy. We begin with this as our first point. Death is our enemy. Paul in Romans 5:12 says, sin entered into the world and then death by sin. Death was introduced into the world on that gloomy day of the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And he that had the power of it is our arch enemy, the betrayer, the evil one, the devil. From both of which facts, we must regard it as the manifest enemy of man, or mankind. You see, death did not enter, or did not enter into the original design of the unfallen creation. When God created the heavens and the earth, death was not in the plan. But death's intrusion mars and destroy and spoil the whole thing. Men fear death by an inward instinct because their conscience tells them that it is the child of their sin. It is the result of our sin that resulted in death. This is the condition you and I are in, and there is no escaping for everyone, young or old, every living thing on this sin-cursed world. Death will have to meet with death at one point or another. So we ask, why is death an enemy? Why we consider death an enemy? Firstly, because it works to destroy us. It works to destroy us. Death tears in pieces that glorious handiwork of God, the fabric of our human body, so wonderfully and marvelously wrought by the finger of God, by divine skill. Death tears at it. Destroy it. Death is a fierce invader of the realms of life and turn man's beauty to ashes and his pleasantness to corruption. Surely, this is the work of an enemy. This is not a work from a friend. Look at the cause of death throughout all ages and in all lands. Is there not, do we not find in every nation, in every country, even just in this nation alone, do we not find, or is there any land without its grave? Is there any city without its cemetery? Our enemy, death, has marched, as it were, with sword and fire raging the human race. Everywhere. Everywhere death has robbed our family of joys and created sorrow and sighing and grief. The tear of the bereaved, the wail of the widow, and the mourn of the orphan, these have been death's war music and found therein a song of victory. Moreover, death is an enemy because it brings those who were yet alive pain and sorrow in the death of our loved ones, in the death of our friends, in the death of our neighbors, in the death of perhaps a child in the family. And death does not care for our crying. Is it not true? Those of us who are still alive, death attacks us and brought us grief, pain, hurt, tears, because death took away our family members, loved ones, friends and neighbors, and even our colleagues. Death has no pity. No pity for the young, no mercy for the old. He pays no regard to the good or to the beautiful. Death is the enemy of us all. If you think for a moment of this enemy, you will observe some of his points of character. Death is a common enemy of all God's people and the enemy of all men. It is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 27. The strongest person has no magical potion of eternal life to renew his or her youthfulness in the midst of decays of age. Nor has the wealthiest, nor has the rich, the powerful, a price to give wherewith to bribe destruction. Regardless of who you are, your status or status in life, to the grave you and I must go one day. Of our whole human race, it is true, as the scripture has it, dust, dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return, says the Lord in Genesis 3:19. This is death, an enemy, our enemy, not to be despised or trifled with, because death is a formidable foe to us, each one of us. So let us remember all his characteristics, and we shall then not be inclined to think lightly of this deadly enemy, whom our glorious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, has destroyed. Let us not forget and trifle with this enemy. Let this understanding of the seriousness of this enemy evoke in us, the Christian, a greater degree of gratitude to our Savior for his finished work on Calvary's cross on our behalf. If not of what Christ has done for you and I on the cross, we will not be able to face this enemy. Surely this enemy, death, will destroy us altogether. The second lesson from this text is that death is an enemy destroyed by Christ. We praise and thank God for this. Remember that our Lord Jesus Christ has already wrought for us on our behalf a great rich victory upon death, so that he has delivered us, the believers, from the lifelong bondage through its fear. We have been delivered from that, brethren. Those of us who are in Christ, we have every good reason to praise and thank God that our Lord Jesus has won for us that victory over death. Yes, we do acknowledge that death, or rather Jesus, has not in that sense fully destroyed death, but Jesus has gone very, very near to doing that. For we are told Christ have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:10. So this surely must come very near to having destroyed death altogether. In the first place, our Lord has subdued death in the very worst sense. How? By having delivered his people from spiritual death. Spiritual death. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So once you have no divine life, once upon a time, you have no divine life, but the death of original depravity remain upon you. And you were so dead to all divine and spiritual things. But now that God has in His grace and mercy saved you, sent forth His Spirit to seal that eternal life in you. Now that the Spirit of God, even He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead, has raised you up into newness of life. Now, as a believer, as a Christian, you have found meaning and purpose for your life. And you became new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this sense, death has been subdued. Our Lord Jesus, in His lifetime, in His earthly ministry, also conquered death. How? By restoring certain individuals to life. Actually, we do read, for example, in the Bible, that the Lord Jesus went into this Jewish ruler house and saw that little girl who had fallen asleep in death. And they were all weeping and crying over her in the and then they lamented, and the people even scornfully laughed at Jesus when Jesus said, "She is not dead but sleepeth," or sleeps, in Luke 8:52. And then after that, because of their unbelief, Jesus put them all out and said to this little girl, "Make arise." Then death was destroyed and life returned to the little girl. And then we have another case, a very well known case. Who is that? Lazarus, if you remember. Lazarus has been laid in the grave for so long that his sister said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." John 11:39. But then when, in obedience to Jesus' command, "Lazarus, come forth," he came forth as the raised one with his grave clothes still on him, but yet really made alive. Then that was death seemed to be subservient to the Lord Jesus. In fact, I heard a pastor who once preached on this text concerning Lazarus. He says that if Jesus did not use the word or name Lazarus, or just say "come forth," all those who were in the grave will come up alive. That's the power of our Lord Jesus. But of course, it is the will of God that only Lazarus will come forth. So Jesus say or command or declares, "Lazarus, come forth." Just one command, and he came forth. And then after that, what do we see or what do we read in that narrative? Jesus say, "Loose him and let him go." And that's the word of our conquering Jesus. Death, bondage were removed. For the law, for the lawful captive was delivered. And brethren, we have in record for our learning in Matthew 27:50-54 that at Jesus' resurrection, and that text there is very difficult to understand or to interpret. But we read there, Matthew 27:50-54, that at Jesus' resurrection, you know what happened? Many of the saints arose and came out of their graves into the holy city. Then was the crucified Lord Jesus proclaimed to be victorious over death and the grave. You can read this for yourself back home if you want to. And you see there that at that time. And so what does it mean when I was reading it? That yes, okay, the saints all arose when Jesus arose or resurrected at that time. They sort of like, I understand the text to tell me that they sort of like they came out of their grave at the same time when Jesus rose from the dead. But the point that disturbs me, not disturbs me, but I find difficult to understand. Then they go into the holy city. So where did they go to? And what do they do there after? Did they go back to their normal life or what? We are not sure. Anyway, that's not the point that I'm trying to bring up, but rather to bring out to you that Jesus' resurrection, as Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, so will you and I be. When Christ died, he suffered the penalty of death on our behalf, on behalf of all his chosen people. Death, since Jesus died, is not a penal infliction upon the children of God. As such, Jesus has abolished it, and it can never be enforced again. Then we also ask, why then the believers die? Why do we still have to reach that point in our life one day? Why? Because our bodies, this body that we have, must be changed before we can enter into the new heaven. Flesh and blood, we are told, as they are, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:50. A divine change must take place upon the body of the believer before it will be fit for incorruption and glory. And death and the grave are, as it were, the refining pot and the furnace by means of which the believer's body is made ready for its future paradise. Death is the fiery chariot. You may look at it this way. Death is the fiery chariot in which we ascend to God. It is the gentle voice of the great King, the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, who comes into his banquet hall and says, "Friends, come up higher." So brethren, be encouraged. Keep this in your mind, particularly in your time when you face discouragement, when you face your enemy, when you face all the challenges and the various vicissitudes of life. Remember, the day of your resurrection draws near. And the Lord Jesus, who is resurrected from the dead, is with you, and he will see you through. The sting of death is sin, and our great substitute has taken that sting away by his great sacrifice on the cross. Christ sacrifice on the cross on our behalf to pay the penalty of our sin is accepted by God the Father. God the Father is satisfied with that sacrifice of his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. Yes, right now we still face death as believers, but it is stinkless. Though it only harms us just a little, but it is not death to die. Furthermore, Christ vanquished death and thoroughly overcame death when he arose from the grave on the third day. The angel of heaven rolled away the stone from our Lord's sepulchre and let in the fresh air and light again upon our Lord Jesus, and he stepped out of the grave a conqueror. So death had fled, the grave had capitulated. Well then, brethren, as surely as Christ rose, so did he guarantee as an absolute certainty the resurrection of all his saints, the resurrection of all Christian believers into a glorious life. Do you believe it? Do you have this assurance? Our bodies, the life of our soul, never having paused even for a moment, we continue to live. In this, he conquered death. And since that memorable victory, every day, we must also keep this in mind. Every day, Christ is overcoming death. For he gives his Holy Spirit to us, to the blood-redeemed saints. And having that Spirit within us, we can meet the last enemy without fear. So every day as we wait for our turn to die, we do not wait in fear and trembling. Why? Because Christ has already given us the victory. Christ is our resurrected Savior. And the Holy Spirit is our assurance that we will continue to live on with our Lord Jesus in eternity, and we can live on each day without fear of death. For those who are truly in Christ, you can look at death and say to death, you are no more able to destroy me, but you are sent. Death are sent as a messenger to escort me, to escort the Christian believer to the golden gate, wherein we shall enter and see our Savior unveiled face forever and ever. However, before that, we must take note that the text says this: the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Notice the word there, the last enemy. So the death in that sense, meant by that text, is not destroyed yet. Because we still, as we understand from the text, death is still our last enemy. So he is to be destroyed last. And how will death be destroyed? This is the third question we want to ask. How will death be destroyed at last? The answer is that death will be destroyed in the sense, first, at the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Those who were alive, meaning to say, I'm talking about Christ's second coming. That at Christ's second coming, those who were still alive on earth and remain shall not see death. You get what I'm trying to say? When Christ returns, we don't know when, perhaps now, if Christ should return now, and we are sitting here alive, the believers, we will not see death. We shall be changed. There must be a change even to the living before they can inherit eternal life. But they shall not actually die. For those of us, or for those who are still alive when Christ returns in the second time. The multitude of the Lord's redeemed, who will be alive at his second coming, will pass into glory without needing to die. So death, as far as they are concerned, will be destroyed. But what about those who already died before Christ returned? So the sleeping ones, we call them, the great numbers of them who slept before Christ returned, who have left their flesh and bones in the graves, and even those who burn up, and there is no physical body in the grave. You know, there are some people who, some Christians who die in a fire, nothing is left of them. Some perish in the sea, nothing of them. So what about these people who died before Christ's return. Death shall be destroyed even as for them. How? When the trumpet sound, what happened? They shall rise from the tomb. The resurrection is like destruction of death. As the Lord Jesus was resurrected by the Spirit of God, so shall it be with His own people. Then shall they echo that which is written in Scripture, which is, you should know this text or this verse, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Then finally, there shall be, after this trumpet of the Lord, be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither weeping, for the former things have passed away, as we read in Revelation. Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him, and so also for us. His blood redeemed people. They too, you who are in Christ, you shall die no more. If you are truly in Christ, you die no more. Keep this in mind. Jesus says, because I live, he shall live also. John 14, verse 19. So, beloved, death is going to be destroyed. He is the last enemy of the church collectively. The church as a body has had a great number of enemies to contend with, and we continue to face these enemies each day. But after the resurrection, we shall say, this is the last enemy. No enemy is left. The battle is fought and the victory is won by our Lord Jesus on our behalf. And who has won it? The Lamb of God that sits on the throne. To whom let us, those of us who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, let us rejoice. Let us live with this assurance. And if we are weak in this assurance, brethren, in this new week, pray that the Lord will increase or strengthen your assurance of this, of your coming resurrection. And that let and pray that this knowledge of your resurrection be a motivation for you to live on for the Lord Jesus and to ascribe all honor, all glory, all praise, all majesty and all power and all dominion and all might to our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. May the Lord help us in our solemn adoration of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, we pray that you will indeed invoke in our hearts this joy, and that you may increase this assurance in us as our Lord Jesus, our Savior, was resurrected from the dead. So it will be for us. And so we pray that you will strengthen this in us, and that in this new week, may this, Lord, this doctrine of the resurrection of the saints be a motivation for us to live for our Lord Jesus Christ in this new week. That whatever our hands find to do in this new week, we may do all as unto the Lord. We may do all for His glory, for His name's sake. That we may live our lives in this new week circumspectly. That we may live as light of the world, salt of the earth. We pray for your Holy Spirit to enable us to do so. Hear this, our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.